Okay, Romans chapter 6, we're going to finish up the chapter today. We took it down through around verse 14 last week. Like we've been doing, we're going to start in Romans 5, first 11 verses. The J.C. O'Hare, 11 verses. Someone's first say, read Romans 5, 1 to 11, 100 times through. Romans 5, 1 to 11. Which says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon me. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Man, it's going to be tough today. See, your fever should just be one more week, I guess, and it's gone. Is that right?
Is it through March?
Oh, yeah. Is it? Through March?
Not through.
I had hoped mid-February.
Okay.
But
probably,
I don't know.
Like through the end of February, maybe.
Oh, well, let's hope in one more week. So a couple more weeks. But again, in verses 9 and 11, underline, highlight the words now. Verse 9. Being now justified by his blood, not will be, as opposed to what Peter preached. Verse 11, having now received the atonement, not will receive the atonement, as Peter preached in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, at the second coming. No, we get it now. A major, huge difference in what Peter and Paul preached. Okay, Romans 6. We've been going through it the last couple weeks. Say we will finish up today. I'm going to try reading verses 15 through 23, the 8 verses we have left here. I'm going to. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, that last verse, 23, when we call it the Romans Road to Salvation. I say we call it, many people. Baptists love the Romans Road, right? They'll call it that, using nothing but the book of Romans, and you can absolutely do that to show someone how to come unto salvation. Between Romans 6:23 pull some verses out of Romans 3, Romans 10, Romans 8. I mean, everything you need is right there for sure. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's certainly one of the verses that are part of that. We're either lost or we're saved. If we're lost, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Good verse right there. We're going to look at that one in depth here. But let's come back. So we're starting in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Go back to 6:1. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Okay, so we're seeing that that theme throughout chapter 6. Again, people, okay, now that you understand grace, okay, now that we've had the first five chapters of Romans and we understand grace a little bit, wow, hey, I'm under grace. I guess we just get to do whatever. No, God forbid. That's not the case at all, and that's chapter 6 in here. So we've dealt with that a little bit back there in the first two or three weeks studying chapter 6. Like I say, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Okay. Here we are in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Okay. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So once again, let's go back to Romans Road. You can obviously keep a marker here in chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 10 in the Romans Road. So we just read in verse 17, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. From the heart. We're going to see from the heart again here, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, part of the Romans Road. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so we see the heart in both verses 9 and 10. Okay, if you believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Okay, we're not working unto righteousness as the book of Romans is all about. We're believing unto righteousness. Okay, so 10, 9, and 10 are just two to go right along with it. Verse 17 of verse 6 now. Okay, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 18 of chapter 6 now. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Okay, so are we becoming servants of righteousness now that we're free from sin? The law of sin and death. Okay? Keeping our marker here, come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians written just before Romans. 1 Corinthians 6. Now this whole thing about, oh wow, now we can just go do whatever. All right? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ purchased us. We were bought with a price, his life, his blood. Okay, that's, you know, he purchased us with his blood. He bought us with his life. Verse 20, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, he bought us, and we should never, you know, this should be our attitude from the point of salvation on. You know, you grace believers, think you can do whatever. No, No, we understand now that we understand salvation by grace without works. Okay, now that we understand that well, we're going to follow, just like here, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You understand it better. When you really understand salvation by grace, and obviously you have to understand grace to be saved by grace. But once you really understand it, here's some more verses that would go along with this. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. There you go right there. What constrains us? The love of Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, and here's the whole phrase now, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Okay, we understand it now. We understood salvation by grace. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is saved by faith without the deeds of the law. We understood those things. And now that we're saved, these are the verses that apply. Okay, when we studied the book of Galatians, same thing there. The whole thing about liberty versus bondage, liberty versus the law. And the law is all about putting people under bondage. Okay, and how many places on Sunday mornings today are putting people under bondage. When you can keep using the law to put people under bondage, it's like you've got them. They've got to come back every Sunday. No, we are under grace. Now, the thing is, no, that's not a license. It is liberty. We understand we're free from the guilt of, we're free from the penalties of. But we also understand that our rewards in eternity are based on our works from the day of salvation, the moment of salvation on. Okay, that's where our works come into play now. All right, and that's why we should live not unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again for our justification. Okay, we get it. We get it, and we do not take that for granted. Okay, but we do understand that works had a different role in times past. They were for salvation. We understand that works will have a different role in things to come, in the time period called things to come. Now, if I did have the board from the rapture on, okay, the 7-year period of great tribulation on, works are for salvation. But in the but now part of the timeline, that's you can picture up here, you see it every week, in the but now time frame, works are as a result of salvation. Okay, we live not for ourselves anymore. We live for him, 2 Corinthians 5:15. And then he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Why doesn't he take us at the moment of salvation? Why does he leave us here? So that we can be, if we jump ahead right here in 2 Corinthians 5, jump ahead to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's it right there. He leaves us here to be an ambassador, to bring the good news of the person who sent us. Who sent us? We're ambassadors for Christ. Christ sent us. Okay? And that's exactly it. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We can come over to Titus. Would be another good passage. Come to Titus, one of the last books that Paul wrote. Just a couple before Hebrews, after Timothy. Titus 3. Titus chapter 3, let's actually, we'll start in verse 4 for right now. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I'm sorry. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Watch verse 5 now. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay? So if we stop right there for just a second, okay, the kindness that came not by works of righteousness. Okay, we've been studying that to death. Now, come down to verse 7, that being justified by His grace. Once again, how are we justified? Okay, by His grace, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, and watch the phrase coming up, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Okay, we are to maintain good works. Putting this back into Romans 6, okay, we are to maintain good works after salvation. What shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Maintain good works. Okay? Maintain good works. We are called to do this. Also, back there in verse 7 of Titus chapter 3, that through that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope of. Okay, the hope. What is that hope? 1 Corinthians 15, where we find the gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. Wow, hope in Christ. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. Well, let's actually back up a few verses and put this in the whole context. Okay? If we start in verse 14, because this is where the question, actually let's start in verse 12. There's a question posed here about the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay, there's the question posed for the text, for the context of what we're reading. How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Vain, void, of none effect. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Our hope in Christ is eternal life, is resurrection from the dead. Okay? That's what this whole passage has been about here. You know, some people saying, no, Christ wasn't raised from the dead. Okay, well, you'd still be in your sins. Remember, Romans 4, at the end of Romans 4, 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. How are we justified? By the resurrection of Christ. Okay, He died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again for our justification. Okay? We're actually justified on the resurrection. Our sins were paid for on the shed blood. But it's His resurrection is where we get that justification. I say simple, one of the things you hear, justification, just as if I've never sinned. Okay, we're declared not guilty, just as if we hadn't done it. Okay, justified. But the hope of eternal life, that's what we have. Okay, and that's why Romans 6, again, putting while we're in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 15, before we leave that passage, let's grab two other parts here. Let's go back to the gospel, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Once again, it does not say ye will be saved. It says ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Here comes the gospel of Christ. How that Christ died, and those next three words, once again, are a difference of what Paul preaches about Christ and sin versus what Peter preached. It says he died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation right there. One other thing, while we're in 1 Corinthians 15, let's come to the end of that book. The subject we're talking about is the hope of eternal life, right? Death. Our hope is that after we die, or after the, you know, we know the next prophetic event is the rapture, the calling out of the body of Christ, the rapture of the church, which is His body. That's when those that are asleep in Christ, that have died with the testimony of salvation, that's when they are raised from the dead. Those at 1 Thessalonians 4. But we which are alive and remain until that day, should it happen while we are alive, we will join them. Okay, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with Christ. Okay? The church which is His body. So that's our hope. Whether we die first, we're resurrected from the dead, or if we're still walking this earth, when that happens, we are called out to the clouds to meet the Lord, meet those that have died in Christ already. That's our hope. Hope of eternal life. Now, he ends 1 Corinthians 15 about this whole thing about death. I'm going to jump into the middle of verse 54 where it says, then shall be brought to pass this. So I'm in 1 Corinthians 15, 54. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why death does not have its sting over us. We have hope of resurrection, of eternal life. And then verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, so if vain is void of none effect, and he says your labor is not of none effect, it's a double negative, right? So that means it is of effect. Your work is of effect in the Lord, preaching the gospel, bringing people to Bible study, studying the Word. God our Savior would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And any and every work that we do that's related to one of those two, helping others to become saved or to come into the knowledge of the truth, are those good works for which we shall receive a reward in eternity. Okay, so now back to Romans 6. But that victory over death that Paul talks about so many times. All right, verse 19 of chapter 6 of Romans. I speak the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. Whoa, those things ashamed? Now Paul's talking to saved people here, right? Look at those words in verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now that you're saved, that ye are now ashamed? And I think about, there's certain people, with the conference coming up next weekend, I don't know if they'll, actually I don't think you'll be at this one. But, you know, there's certain people I hear that give their testimony. You know, it's always great to give your testimony. That one of the best things you can do is give your testimony. We talk about that plenty. How many people we know of that have gotten saved just listening to other people's testimonies. When Jimmy Brown,
Jerry Sanders
got saved. You know, he'd been Brother Moore's right-hand man for 3 years. And he was a lost believer. He believed the right things, but he had never trusted in them for his salvation. And never, based on that trust, asked the Lord to save him. He got saved. Gave his testimony at a conference. People got mad at him because they just assumed he was saved. And 14 people in the next 24 to 48 hours got saved. Jimmy Brown being one of those people. Things ashamed. When you have an opportunity to give your testimony, please do. But don't brag about the past. And there are some people that kind of have a habit of doing this. You know, I was such a terrible person. Let me tell you how bad I was. I did A, I did B. You know, whatever you want those to be. They feel a need to enumerate those, and they have for the last 20 years or so. You know, no, don't brag about it. We should be ashamed is what verse 21 is saying. Not one of us is any better than anyone in our past life. Not one of us is any worse than another one in our past life. Okay, I don't care what sin it was. Sin is sin is sin. And we've studied that out plenty of times. If you break one point of the law, you're guilty of how many points?
All.
Thank you. You've broken them all. You may not physically have stuck a needle in your arm and done heroin, but you're guilty of it. Because if you broke one part, you've broken all. Just as an example of a sin that some people may have said, hey, in the past I used to do all this. No, you don't need to enumerate. Okay, it is what we read at the beginning, Romans 5, verse 8, but God commended, or verse 6, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6, 8. Okay, while we were yet sinners. I'm sorry, thank you. Romans 5, 8. I was wondering, I thought I had some funny looks going on out there. Just making sure everyone's paying attention, reading the words.
Like Romans 6, 6, that didn't say that. Yeah. And now 6, 8.
Yeah. Yeah, so Romans 5, that we read at the beginning, Romans 5, 1 to 11, has it all right there. But verse 6, he died for the ungodly. Verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? So we're remembering those things. Give your testimony. Yes, we were sinners, and that's when Christ died for us. All right, but we should be ashamed of those things. Okay? No one sins or any better than anyone else's sins. No one sins are any worse than anyone else's sins is the point. Sin is sin, and by Romans 6:21, we are now that we're saved, ashamed of those things. Okay? That is the attitude we should take towards those. No, it's not 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, we're ashamed of those things. Romans 6:15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. We're now ashamed of those things. Okay, but they're behind. The good news is none of those is held against us. Praise the Lord for that. No matter how little or how big you think that sin was or wasn't, None of those are held to our account because he died for all of our sins. Colossians 2:13, having forgiven us all trespasses. Okay? Praise the Lord. Yes, you can claim those. The only works that you need to be concerned about are from the day you're saved forward. Either until your death or until the rapture of the church, the calling out of the body of Christ. All of those works. And I think we did that last week, 1 Corinthians 3. All of our works are compared to either gold, silver, precious stones, or they're compared to wood, hay, and stubble. They're all put to fire. These gold, silver, precious stones are made more pure by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble burn up. They're gone. Poof. But of course, yet so he himself shall be saved, that passage said. Okay, yes, we are secure eternally in our salvation, because works have no part of our salvation. They have everything to do with our rewards in eternity. Any questions on that? Okay, back to Romans 6 then. So again, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Let me see if we may have covered this enough. Give me 1 second here. At that point, I was going to have us... go back to Titus 3, if you would. Okay, so 6:21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. All right, so Titus 3, we started in verse 1. Again, thinking about our works now. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Okay, this is speaking to us today, right now. This is a prison epistle, too. This is what we should be doing. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, contrary to that, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Come back to Ephesians. Ephesians. We're to put on the new man when we're saved. And Ephesians chapter 4. So Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians and Colossians, we've gone too far. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 22 of Ephesians 4, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, these are the things we put away the moment of salvation. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Here's works. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God in, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay? Back to Romans 6 now. I'm sorry, stay there. Romans 5, 6. Jump ahead to verse 6. Romans 5, I'm sorry, Ephesians 5.
Where are we at?
On first. Third base. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Remember those things we were ashamed? Okay? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I'm going to go back to verse 8 and skip verse 9. It's in parentheses. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Okay, just putting the role of what are works for today. Looking at time again here. Okay, so Romans chapter 6 is where we are now. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You just start in verse 20 and back up a little bit. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Next study, when we go into chapter 7, we're going to start taking some things from the law and you know, get into this, you know, about the law again, a little bit more detail, kind of like some allegories here. But here's the thing, you know, the role of works today. So recently I heard someone say, you know, I don't know, this whole thing, I was in a Bible study that I don't teach, that I have the privilege of attending. You get to listen in. But a person in that study said, you know, this whole thing about eternal security of the believer. He said, I don't know, but just to make sure, I'm going to keep striving to do good works just in case, you know, you can lose your salvation. Well, does the guy understand grace? Does a person that says that, do they really understand the gospel of Christ? That he died for our sins, that there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. So he's going to keep working for it. Well, let me take... So I guess the question is, can a person that takes that attitude be saved? You know, if they're working for their salvation. Well, you know, I'm going to get saved by the gospel of Christ, but I'm also going to keep working for my salvation. And what are you... You know, it comes back to the question, if you died tonight, where would you go? Key is, why would you go there? Another way is, how sure are you, if you died tonight, how sure are you you'd spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm 99% sure. I'd say 99 is the same as zero. You're either 100% because you were saved, you trusted in the gospel of Christ for your salvation. You either did or you didn't. Like Romans 5, how many times did it say it's a free gift? Okay, but you have to accept that gift. You either receive it or you receive it not when it's offered to you. Let's take some extremes past that. What about the guy today that would say, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of different ways. There's one God, I believe that, but there's a lot of different ways to that God. You know, Oprah now takes this position. You know, Muhammad leads to that God. Hinduism leads to that same God. Buddhists leads to that same God. So you know what? I want to make sure I spend eternity with that God. So I'm going to practice Buddhism on Friday. I'm going to practice Hinduism on Saturday, or you know, whatever their days are. I'm going to be a Jew on Saturday. I guess that would be my day, my religion for Saturday. I'll practice Jewish law then. I'll sacrifice animals. I'll worship the Prophet Muhammad. Oh, by the way, I'm going to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm going to believe all of them. No, and what are you trusting for your salvation? And if you're trusting all of those, you're not trusting the gospel of Christ. Make sense? Okay, so if a person's trusting, you know, doing all of them, you know, they're not saved. They didn't understand the gospel of Christ. Okay, well, let's whittle out. Let's just say, well, no, that's ridiculous, Steve. It's you've got to be out of the Bible. Well, okay. So let me practice Leviticus here. In case that's part of the program, I'm going to work for my salvation. And oh, by the way, I'm going to go back to Exodus there, and I'm going to sacrifice that scapegoat. Or, you know, I'm going to put my hands on that scapegoat and send them out. And I'm going to slit the throat of a lamb once a year for remission of sins. I'm going to practice the law. And I'm going to believe the gospel of Christ. And then I'm going to follow like in Hebrews and endure to the end. Not take the mark of the beast. We don't have to worry about that right now. The mark of the beast isn't out there yet. No, you can't do those things. So you can't follow. So Romans chapter 3 put in one hand. And James chapter 2 put in the other hand. Hebrews, James. James chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, part of that Romans road. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 28 says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Can the deeds of the law justify a man in the book of Romans? No. James chapter 2, verse 24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Romans 3, 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. James 2, 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Romans 3, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Come on. They couldn't be more opposite. It's because they are different doctrine for different dispensations. And so the man says, well, I'm just going to follow both of those because I'm not sure which one is for me. I don't understand dispensationalism. I'm just going to follow them both. Well, no, you can't do that. And that's why I went back to that other example about Hinduism and Buddhism and let me be a Catholic also. Let me be a Jew also. Let me be a Baptist. Let me be a Church of Christ. Well, how do you do those two? All right? So, somewhere you got to make a decision. You know, what do you believe? Be light. Go to Acts chapter 17. Here's how you figure it out. Acts chapter 17 is the principle. You be like these people right here. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These, the people that are in the synagogue, which are the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, verse 11 says. But why were those people more noble? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed. Do not be like verse 12. Therefore many of them believed. This is when you believe it. It's the end of verse 11. When you search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so, therefore many of them believe. And because you do that, you'll be called more noble. But don't believe it until you see it in the scriptures. And when you see it in the scriptures, just accept it. And just trust in the gospel of Christ for your salvation. Okay, that's the principle that you use to figure out what the Bible is telling you to do, what God Almighty is telling you to do through the Scriptures to be saved. Because He tells different people, He gives different people throughout time different ways to obtain salvation. We obtain salvation today in the year 2015 by 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and raised again for our justification. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, I'm going to say Steve parentheses here, faith alone, not of works, end of parentheses, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that peace. We don't have to worry about, was I good enough or not? Did I lose it today? No, because we understand we're justified by faith alone, not of works. Okay, that's the difference. And any other dispensation, boy, you better work it out with fear and trembling. Was I good enough? And in the future, like in Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10, when that man loses his salvation, which he can, there is no second chance. He's done forever. Of how much sorer punishment? Whoa. Man, to know salvation and then lose it, know you can't get it, obtain it again, and to know the wrath of God, holy smokes. I can't, that's hell on earth right there. But that's not our dispensation today. Okay? Comment? No. Okay, so we're in Ephesians 3, the dispensation of the grace of God. Embrace it. Okay? Works have no part of obtaining salvation, but they have everything to do once we have salvation to determine our rewards in eternity. And amen to that. Okay, if you'll get us there.